Morning, everyone, and welcome once again to our weekly Sunrise Project call, where we always are so grateful to be in the safe space of community with one another, where we are working to heal our relationships and working to create space, new space with ourselves and with our families. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I am so thrilled this morning to have our special guest back with us today. She was here with us back in early June, and she has graciously agreed to come back today to share, and I'm excited to have her. Her name is Jacera Glover Doolin, and she is a dynamic force at the intersection of mental health, spirituality, and transformative leadership. As a licensed holistic therapist, certified executive and life coach, Reiki master, ordained minister, and shamanic practitioner in training, Jacera integrates sacred wisdom with psychological expertise to guide individuals and communities through deep healing and personal evolution. That just feels so good. Just feels so good. Just reading that paragraph. She is the visionary founder of the Oasis Sanctuary, a therapeutic and spiritual refuge. And the Legacy Leadership Group, a global leadership development firm. Jacera's work is grounded in a trauma-informed, culturally attuned approach that weaves together modalities such as CBT, ACT, DBT, mindfulness, somatic therapy, ancestral healing, and African spiritual traditions. With over 20 years of experience, she specializes in creating and cultivating safe spaces that honor identity, foster emotional restoration, and support holistic well-being. Currently completing her PhD in business psychology, Jacera is passionate about dismantling racialized workplace trauma, reshaping organizational culture, and empowering purpose-driven leaders. Jacera resides just outside of Atlanta, where she lives with her husband, Robert. And I will share in our chat and also a little bit later her website and information because she is licensed to provide therapy in Georgia, Florida, and Maryland. And we are so delighted to have you back, Jacera. Thank you for being here
Thank
this
you.
morning.
Here. So happy to be here. Hello, everyone. Peaceful rising.
Peaceful rising. Can we stop there? When we got on the call earlier this morning, I said, "Good morning. It's good to see you." And you said, "Peaceful rising." I took a deep breath because it felt so good to hear those words, "Peaceful rising." Where did that come? Before we get into our topic, which is all about authenticity today and unwrapping the gift of you for you, can you share? Where did you, or when did you start using that term, and what does it mean for you?
Sure. I started using it the first part of this year, and I have been working intentionally on mapping out and creating my day and not waiting for anybody to do that for me on my behalf. Just I would hear people say grand rising, and grand rising never resonated with me. And so one day I said, no, I want peace and I want peace every day of my life. So it became horizon. And so what I noticed is when I say it, it's just like what you did. People stop in their tracks, and it's almost like taking a breath because it's like, okay, I'm going to be intentional about peace. And peace is not, absent of things going on externally around us, right? But it's really setting a tone to kind of inwardly, no matter what, to ground ourselves in peace. So that's where it came
Yes, I love it. It's grounding ourselves in peace. It's taking a breath. It's taking a pause. And it's being intentional about how we move through our day. And that's what you did for me in that second. It's like, I literally, it made me pause and it made me smile.
Good. I
And I
love.
thought, this is beautiful. So thank you for that. So I want to talk about our topics. Our topic today is authenticity. And I want to start by just talking about that because when we talk about authenticity, especially in our community where most of us are working with our parent adult child relationships, many of us have adult children, some have teens, some have godchildren. It doesn't matter. Some are here because they're dealing with, another loved one, it may not be a child, but whatever reason, it doesn't matter. But as we talk about authenticity, especially during the holidays, what does it really mean to show up as our true selves without trying to control outcomes or control what's happening, with other people? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so let's jump right on in. I think authenticity begins with first awareness. I'm certain that it begins with awareness, right? And as we become aware of how we are responding, as we become aware of what we are feeling, even as we become aware of some things that we've been conditioned to do and believe, as we become aware of those things, then giving ourselves permission to show up in alignment and in control. Because as you become aware, then you can begin to notice the things that may not align with you, right? The things that may not really truly sit with you. And as you do that, you become very intentional about congruence. It's honesty without overbearing, right? It's standing boundaries as more than just protection, but invitations for clarity. That's kind of where authenticity kind of begins in my mind.
Interesting. I, in inviting authenticity and conversations, and I want to talk about this control piece, because so many times we talked about this last week with Dr. Linda. So many times we're trying to control what's happening, or we have certain traditions for the holidays that we want to try to continue, and our adult children may not, care about those traditions or want to maybe create their own new ones. How do we work past those things and just say, I'm going to let them be? How do we get there?
Well, first, we have to acknowledge that as children become adults, that as parents, the role evolves. So the needs that they had, when they were younger are not the same. And I think when parents begin to see their adult children as people like them, right, then they can embrace the fact that their adult child has a choice, first and foremost, and that they can choose to celebrate differently. They can choose to be with their friends instead of with family, first and foremost. And then I think want to tie back to when I said about awareness with parents, authenticity. We really have to question why we do what we do as parents, because sometimes we're more performative, right? We are present. And so, we want them to be present for be there for the holidays, but really, what is that about? Is it because we ritualistically do it? Or is it because we are seeking to build connection? Because if connection is the center of it all, it really doesn't matter if they spend the holiday with us, because we detach from that expectation and we begin to embrace something else. So really moving from, you look like you're going to ask a question.
Well, the ex right. So what I hear you, I was about to ask about the detaching language that you're using, because if it's about connection and we're working on connection all the time or in other spaces and it's not attached to a specific day. Is that
Correct.
what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm saying the healthy detachment doesn't look like, oh, we have to, it's not ritualistic. It's not making an overbearing, asserting what you would like for your children to do. It's accepting, right? So really healthy detachment, radical acceptance. It's about acknowledging, it's like the serenity prayer, what you prayed.
Yes,
It,
accepting.
it's the acceptance, right? It's detaching, but knowing that when you're detaching, you're not letting your child go. Once again, you're positioning yourself for connection.
Right. But how do you interrupt the patterns? Because we have these patterns. Like I'm thinking about, my birthday's coming up. I want to go to do what I do in the morning, my certain breakfast place, and I want my kids to come with me, And yet if they don't, it's okay. Although I might be disappointed. So how do we disrupt, and change the expectations when we do have these rituals or we do have these things that we've always done that we want our kids to show up for, even when they're grown? Dr. Vicky just put a note in the chat. She says, detachment is not letting go, it's positioning for acceptance.
It's positioning for acceptance and it's positioning for clarity, right? It's conditioning for connection. So when you ask how do you disrupt by questioning why it is that you are insisting that X, Y, and Z, that my child does this. Is this coming from me or is this coming from what I've been taught to believe? And have I challenged that? Have I assigned my identity as a parent to whether or not they are with me during the holidays? For instance, if they're not with me, because we, hosting and all of the things, and if I'm not a good host, does that mean I'm not a good mom, a good mama or a good father? No. So we are, really, really looking at why we do what we do. That's how we disrupt. Why we do what we do, and being okay with the discomfort when we uncover what really might be behind that. Because a lot of times behind that is not our own thoughts and being. I was thinking about, now this might be a little off topic, but I just for the sake of kind of making my point, I was thinking about how we are conditioned to believe that when we are dating, that the next step is marriage. Now, when you are moving into authenticity and when you're moving into this place of true alignment, you allow yourself space to question if that's really what you want, even when you feel the inkling of that, right? Because some of us, it's like, no, I have to get married. And it's like, no, do I really have to? I don't have to. And this marriage anyway, right? We start having those questions. So disruption begins with inquiry. It begins with the curiosity. It begins with the question. It begins with looking in and asking, what is this about? Is this the identity that I am aligning with because I was told? Well, yeah. So that's where that disruption begins.
I love that. I love that, and it's making me rethink my plans for next week and also making me feel comfortable. But you know what? When I ask myself those questions, I think part of it is because without saying anything from a guilt perspective, I realize, and it's an honest and truthful comment, I don't know that I've built traditions over the years, you know what I mean, with my children. So we don't necessarily have traditions. And so when I think about, okay, one thing we do, is we never sat down to eat dinner. We never, except for Thanksgiving and Christmas, those 2 days a year. So those 2 days a year, which are important because of the one time we actually sit down as a family versus grabbing the plate and going somewhere, So I think that's why. And so for me, rethinking those things and saying, okay, we're gonna, and being okay with it's just me. That's fine too.
I think that first of all, that's powerful what you said, but then you brought something up for me. My mom is constantly like, we need to do something for Thanksgiving. We need to do something for Christmas. We got married and having children doing our thing. And I said to her one day, I said, Mom, connection isn't bound to just those holidays. We
That's
can
right.
create our own memories and own experiences on March the 31st if we wanted to, right?
That's
And
right.
so she kind of stopped.
That's right.
Right. And this was the first year that we went on a cruise together.
Wow.
So talk about creating
Totally
memories.
separate time, but it's
It
separate.
totally, yes, it was in August.
totally separate time, but that did something for her because I think the other piece is, it's a lot of pressure. There's pressure, in the Black family. A lot of times, Thanksgiving has to be that dinner where we do it up. Christmas has to be, and it's like, no, we can love on each other and connect throughout the year. That's intentional. Yeah, that's
And
intentional.
it's right. And I think that's an open opportunity, to make a different choice, because you talked about choices earlier. And I want to get back to something too. It's a lot of this is around, self-regulation. And you talk about that a lot in your work, self-regulation before communication. Can you share more about that? Because that, I think, is a challenge we all have, is that self, how do we self-regulate before we communicate? What does that mean, first of all? And then how can we do that effectively?
So first, a lot of times when we're communicating from a survival kind of instinct, right? Where our nervous system is trained to either fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Okay. So when things happen or when conversations bring about that internal disruption, our nervous system is automatically activated. And either it's not trained to be calm and to stop and to pause and to process, then it will respond out of these altered states. So first is very important that we pay attention to what's happening. This is very, 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 very practical. If we pay attention to what's happening in our bodies when we are encountering these moments with our children or with our loved ones, right? When we start talking, if we get tightness in our chest, if we are feeling tense in our shoulder, that
Yes.
we take a moment and pause and even breathe to regulate, because authenticity is about self-regulation. That happens internally first, right? It's never good to respond immediately. It's also good to take a beat, to take a pause, because our tells us what our brain doesn't. We don't understand. Our body tells us what our brain doesn't. Our body, our whatever we're experiencing externally is traveling up that reticular activating system up the brain stem through our left to get to the prefrontal cortex to make a decision. But what happens is we don't allow that process to ground us, put us in what is called a dorsal state, so that we're able to self-regulate first before we respond. So that's where your deep breathing comes into play. If you don't meditate, you need to meditate. Where grounding is important, grounding is very important. Sound is important. Sound can regulate your nervous system, right? So all of those things, those practices, right, that can help us, that can support us when we're in the midst of those conversations,
I
because
love that.
you never want to just react. You want to respond intelligently and from a honest place, but not from a reactive place. Yeah, I hope that answered your question.
You did answer the question, because it's about pausing, it's about taking a breath, it's about being honest. And at the end of the day, it's not about control. And it's really, especially with adult children, it's like asking them, what would you like? Here's what I would like to do. What do you think about that? How does that feel to you?
And let me say this, because I didn't bring this into it when I was talking about awareness. It's important that we honor the grief and that we mourn the version of the relationship that was. So because when they were younger, there was a level of dependency that they had that they no longer have. And sometimes as parents, we can become very attached, addicted to that, to needing to be needed. And we've centered and built our lives around that identity and that identity alone. Then it is a shock to the nervous system. It's a shock to everything. So we have to stop and pause and honor the grief, the version
of the relationship that was
Yes.
and say, you know what? Ah, yeah, I miss
Mm
that. And it's okay to say that to your child. I miss that.
yeah.
And I recognize you're becoming someone else.
Yes. And the flip is actually interesting too, because I just watched a really great movie called J. Kelly on Netflix, and it's without giving it all away, it's basically about the choices that we make. And the choices we make as adults, you know, and how we choose to live our lives, how we choose to show up for our children and our loved ones, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really deep, and I'm not going to give the ending away. But without saying much more about it, it made me pause and reflect because, on the reverse, and as I was mentioning, like, don't really have a bunch of traditions, and I'm looking forward to creating new memories and moments that are not necessarily tied to, the holidays, specific days. And that's an interesting, because it's sort of the opposite. We did have some traditions, but not a lot, not major ones. Like when I see other people, it's like, oh, we decorated the tree. No, I have a girlfriend that comes in and puts the tree up and decorates it. So there's no connection even around, the tree piece. So I think there's a, for me, it's a reverse. Do you see that as well? It's like trying to find ways to create moments and memories that might be, as one man said a few weeks ago, these mind many molecule moments, where he said many molecule moments, and over time they add up to these wonderful memories.
And to your point, you made me. I wrote something down here because I think the other thing that shows up unconsciously in these moments is that many of us are seeking to reconcile and resolve our parental relationships, our own
That's it.
relationships, right?
Yes.
Whatever was deficient, whatever memory may be assigned to the holidays for us, right?
Yes.
A lot of times that unconsciously comes up, and that's the driver. That becomes a thing that is that causes us to really, push. Hey, I want to have a holiday. I want to do something different because sometimes we haven't completely acknowledged the pain and completely healed whatever needs to be healed with regards to
That's right.
our parental relationships.
That part right there is massive,
It's
because
huge.
it's huge, because all of us have something
Correct.
that's unresolved.
Correct.
I
Correct.
really, and yeah, and all of us have that. So it's just interesting with all the authenticity, all the honesty. Sometimes that still has that overlay of this unresolved trauma.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And that's like you said, it's layered, right? And so part of authenticity is saying and acknowledging, I am becoming. I am, but
Yes.
also I am becoming. It's both
Yes.
happening at the same time because in
Right.
relationships with our adult children, things begin to be uncovered, things that we didn't know
That's right.
to be uncovered, right? Oh,
That's
I didn't
right.
know that I still had this issue. Oh, I
Yeah.
didn't know. Yes.
Right. It's
Yeah.
funny, even small things. I know, and my mom, is mortified when I use paper plates. But I'm about peace and ease right now in my life. And so paper plates was the big deal to me. But it's about peace. And as you said, peaceful rising. I'm thinking about moving through this next couple of weeks. How do we maintain peace when there's a thousand things on the to-do list and we have time for five of
Make
them?
yourself the number one priority. Make yourself the priority. You cannot give if you've not given to yourself first. And for me, I'll tell you now that y'all may not agree with this, but this has been my philosophy. I'm not even interested in giving people anything out of my cup because it belongs to me. I'm interested in giving people overflow. So if I sit in a place where I'm filled for me, I need me to be field, and this is part of the authenticity. I need to embody authenticity. I need to embody presence, and I need to do that for me first and foremost. Give out of that place of abundance. I don't even believe anymore letting that cup get halfway filled. It's like, no, because for me, it has built up moments of resentment. No, keep your cup filled. Keep you first.
Yes.
You got a husband. I know you got kids. I know you got job, but keep you first. Just like they tell
That's
us on
a
the airplane, right?
yeah,
Before you
yeah.
help somebody else, put your mask
Cover
on.
your mask, put your mask on. Yeah. It's easier said than done is the reality, right?
It is. It comes through practice and it comes through giving ourselves permission once again. Wait, the thing is, this is what I think. I don't know how many, it seems like it's a lot of women on the call, and I don't know if it's men on the call, but a lot of times as women, we assign our value and our identity to what we do, the roles we play.
That's right.
Right? The strong Black
That's
woman,
right.
the great, leader, the strong wife, whatever, right? So we overly identify. And so that's why it becomes a challenge, because what I'm saying is not to identify with the role. I'm suggesting that you go in and realize who you are and align with that. And the role is the extension of you, not
That's right.
you.
Right.
So that's why it
Right.
becomes difficult. There's that tension. Oh, if I put me first, then it means that I'm not a good mom. If I put me first, that means I'm a selfish wife. If I cut off my boundary at work, that means that I'm not a dedicated worker.
None of that's true.
None of that's true. We've bought into an illusion that is not true. We've been
That's
conditioned.
not true.
Not true.
That's right. That's right. So focusing on not performing, but living into who we are and who God has put us on the earth to be, and really stepping into that space. And as we, go over these next few weeks, finding those moments, that's why I'm still in love with the peaceful rising, finding those moments for ourself to have peace and to experience lightness and ease. That is a tremendous thing to think about, and an opportunity to make a different choice this holiday. And some people are further along in that space than others. So I can speak from personal experience. So that's really cool. I love that. So I want to ask a question about, we talked a little bit about this around going back to how things may have been or how things were, and how do we make sure we're reconciling not doing that, but living into a space that's honest and respectful and emotionally mature, between our us as parents and our adult children. So, like, what does a conversation look like? I'm asking tactically, what does a conversation look like as we are, exploring how to create a different space, that versus what may have been true in the past?
So first, I think it's important to acknowledge that the sacrifices that were made as a parent were centered in love. And I think
Yes.
it's good to start off the conversation with the things that I did for you as you were growing up. It was out of a place of love. It's because I
Yeah.
wanted to create something safe.
Yes.
As you have become an adult, that has become, it's different for me. I'm learning
Yes.
how to evolve now in a different place. And so I miss that part of our relationship. I miss
Yes.
that. And it's okay to say in my mind, you'll always be da da da
Right.
da. And as we move forward, help me to kind of engage with you in a way that's respectful of where you are,
Yes.
that honors your evolving,
And that creates space for us to have something new.
I love that.
Right?
That's great. That's
Because both
beautiful.
exist. Yeah. So you don't abandon what was. You can't. Right?
Right,
You acknowledge
right.
it, right? You
In a
acknowledge.
new space.
Yeah.
And so let's create something new. And it's a journey.
It's
Yeah, I love that. It's a journey. I want to make sure we open up the floor for people who may have a question. Oh, it looks like we do have a hand up. So whoever that is, please feel free. Nikki, good morning.
Oh, thank you for this. Good morning. Oh, wait, no. Great day. I usually say to people, great and grateful day when I'm texting them
Oh, I
because
love
I'm
that.
practicing so much this oxymoron around this good sadness. Because
Yay.
I've learned in a lot of different spaces, how it's not congruent with who we say we want to be and what we want our days to look like and just
That's
all these
right.
things. And so it's a lot of unlearning and unschooling inside of this great linguistic world that we live in. So I am thank you. Is it Jasira?
Yes, just Sarah.
Okay, Jasira. Thank you, Kelly, for having Jasira here. And Jasira, I just wanted to ask, this is I have to preface it by saying I sit a lot going, don't say that. Don't ask that. Let me give you a background before I say the thing I'm about to say. And like it's this dance I do. And I was like, that's not authentic. That's not who you are. You're not being true to yourself. If you have a question, Nikki, ask the damn question. You don't have to go down a rabbit hole of who you're not or who you're not being before you even engage in the conversation. And then when you get to the conversation, you're still explaining away how great you are not before you ask the question. And as I'm listening to you speak, I am reminded to just be me. And whoever me is in that moment, when she shows up, she is dynamic, right? I mean, like, that is my daughter noticed I was doing something last night. I decided to make my own wall calendar. I'm not going to Staples to buy this calendar to spend this money because Staples got the best calendar. No, I've got pens, paper for days, pencils, markers, stickers, all the same ish. I'm going to put in those books. I have it right here in this apartment. So I
I
said, I'm
love
going to use my own creativity.
it.
I'm drawing lines on this paper. And I made mistakes with the calendar. I messed up the numbers. And we laughed about it at first, like, oh, mommy, you can't count. Like, 28 doesn't come after 21. I said, well, my brain went straight to 28 because I was automatically fast forwarding on how I didn't have enough space on the paper. Like, how bananas was that? But that was like in real time how we can start to belittle ourselves. And then she heard me say, you're doing a great job. It's like you're drawing these lines, you're counting these numbers, you know how to count by ones. She's like, are you talking to yourself? I said, I sure the hell am. I said, I have to remind myself that even in this seemingly small project, that I have the propensity to say, you're not good enough to write numbers. You're not good enough to draw straight lines with a ruler, by the way. And I said, and this is what I do every day to remind myself of the goodness that God has given me that is my life. And she's like, oh, she's looking at me like, you got to do all that to draw a line, the right numbers. I'm like, heck yeah, because if I do it at these little moments, then when it's a big moment, I'll remember that, Nikki, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job at mothering. You're doing a great job at whatever that is. And so I just had to say that because I don't know who else is like that, but I know I am constantly on repeat for how much I am not, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And the reality is, I am so in overflow. The cup runneth over
Yes.
with abundance. So,
Yes.
yeah, I got another question, but I'm going to send that to you in an email because it might be,
Okay.
off the topic of what we got
Okay.
today. But
Okay.
all of
Okay.
your background leads me to
Okay.
say she may be an answer for something I am seeking. So,
Okay.
thank
Okay.
you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Can I give you all an activity, if you will? You didn't ask me, but to give you all an activity. As
Yes.
you were talking, Nikki, I was making a few notes here, and I want to say something that you brought out that is important. Presence is king. I want to challenge us to stop looking to do, but just look to be present in the moment. Like right here, right now, no distractions, no multitasking. Be present right here in the moment because presence is king, and presence is the portal for awareness, for insight, for all of the things that we are struggling with to come to the surface. The reason why, Nikki, you were able to even have that conversation with yourself is because you were present in the moment. That's key. That's first. The second thing is, I think that we have to continue to dance with our inner child. So I'm going to tell you something that I just did this morning, and I want to invite you all to do it. I printed out an 8x10 picture of myself at 5 years old. And I wrote on the picture, "I promise you that we will always dance." Because what happens is, as we become older, we forget that the younger child, the inner child, has to be attended to. Because when she is not, it comes up in various ways. It comes up in latching on and holding on to our children. It comes up in control. It comes up in, when we use our emotional currency as manipulation. It comes up, and we don't even intend for that to happen. So we have to be in a perpetual place of doing our parental trauma, inner child work, but also saying, "Hey, I'm giving us permission, and I promise you, Jacera, we." 5-year-old Jacera, and right now we're gonna dance. We're never gonna get stuck again. We're gonna be fluid. We're gonna color outside the lines on purpose. We're gonna be present. We're gonna be free and flowing. Okay? When we do that, that creates space for the dismantling of the conditioning and the cognitive beliefs that Nikki was talking about, that I'm not good enough. Because, see, as a child, you invite curiosity, it's not about perfection. It's about play. It's about exploration. It's about discovery. When we become adults, we forget all about that because it's about getting it done. And that sabotages and hijacks us being present. And then what happens is we bring that over into our relationships with our adult children. And we inadvertently put that pressure on them and don't mean to. I'll
I
stop.
love that exercise. That sounds wonderful. And I love that. I also, it's interesting, someone shared with me a really beautiful exercise about writing myself a love letter. And I used ChatGPT to do it because I just couldn't figure out how to get started, and it was so beautiful with a you know with the when I you know there's prompts for other things, so it read what I asked for. I love that exercise, just Sarah. I think that's
That's a good
phenomenal.
one too. Yeah, the letter is good. That's a great one.
Yeah, I love that, and I love Nikki's share. That was beautiful. Does anybody else have a question or a comment or a thought that you want to bring up? I love progress, not perfection. Yes, love that. Anything on anybody's heart this morning, or a comment, or a question, since we have such a beautiful, incredible, wise spirit on this phone today, which is Sarah. If not, I have more questions. I'm happy to ask. I'll keep going. my next expect question, like, you're a therapist, you're a spiritual guide. Have you seen where people who have had historically very tough relationships with their children as teenagers, have you seen real examples where they have actually flipped them around and changed those relationships to go from really difficult to really beautiful and strong?
You mean, and
In
so
your practice,
that I've worked.
practical examples.
Yeah. So I've seen, yes, I've worked with particularly Black women, because a lot of in the work that I've done with a lot of Black women, there's the guilt and the shame that a lot of times we don't name, we don't call,
That's right.
right?
That's right.
So in that space, they're able with me to call out the guilt and the shame, and we're able to then help them to have an honest conversation with their children, a vulnerable
Yes.
conversation, a conversation that requires vulnerability, because a lot of times what children don't see in their adults is vulnerability. And so they don't see their parents as human. They don't see their parents as having emotions. They don't see their parents as having feelings. They see their parents as something, above them versus a person, a person. And so I'm thinking of one client in particular. We kind of walk through the shame and the guilt because her child was born out of due to a rape. So even just the way that her child was conceived, the way that she was wired was to be overprotective.
Yes.
To it was to be overbearing, but it really wasn't centered in trying to control. It was centered in protection because of
Yes.
what happened to her, she didn't want to happen to her daughter.
Yes.
So,
Right.
part of healing and having that conversation and turning it was first with that woman, healing the shame, the guilt, the embarrassment, and then really giving herself permission to say, hey, I did what I did from the sacrifices that I made, my overbearing disposition was from an honest, sincere place. It
Yes.
wasn't to smother you. And then it
Right.
required her to share with her daughter more
Yes.
what she encountered when she was conceived.
And then her daughter heard that, I'm sure, very differently.
Her daughter heard that, heard it differently, connected with the vulnerability.
Yes.
They were able to begin to move towards something new.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what most of us are doing on this call, moving to, working to move to something new. And with boys, I have young men.
Yeah.
My vulnerability was around sharing about the fear I had for them. Still have, because they're Black men in America, and these big, men walking around sometimes in the middle of the night, coming home from work, taking the metro or what have you. There's that ongoing undercurrent, which is fear, wanting them to be safe. But that's true, if it's boys or girls, we want our children to be safe. And like you said, with your friend, with the woman's daughter, not wanting to have that repeated situation happen to her, it comes from a fearful space.
And I also think that we have to give ourselves grace and give ourselves the benefit of the doubt and really move
Yes.
towards self-forgiveness.
Yes.
We are so hard, like Nikki said, we're so hard on ourselves, but a lot of us
We
have
are.
been conditioned, right? And if you grew up in a home where mom or dad said, no, you will not cry, or you have to do this right, you got to get
Right.
this right. When that happens, that imprint, that impression
Yes.
causes us to move into this mode of perfectionism, delusion that everything has to be perfect, everything has to go right.
Yeah.
And we when we come into this awakening, we have to be intentional about forgiving ourselves and saying, hey,
That's right.
I even forgive my parents. They wanted the best for me, because a lot of that was filtered in as Black women, them wanting you to show up as better than the rest.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Do a little bit more, always have to
A little
do
bit
more,
more advanced.
be better, all the things we heard. Growing up, which is in some cases true. This is the reality.
A
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, I am so grateful for this conversation. I'm seeing someone say, present is king. That's true. And I'm, honestly, you were answering a question, and there was a person who's on our call, and we were texting, a person who's here regularly, she shared last week. Out of the 300 calls, she's been here probably 280. And
Okay.
it dawned on me as I saw her pop up this morning, oh, I hadn't sent her something that I said I was going to do. So I did it. And then she sent me a note and said, thank you. And during this call, I responded, you're welcome. But that took away my complete presence just for that, 2 seconds. But it was a great reminder of, that could have waited. So we're done. So I could be fully present. And that's true of life. We tend to multitask. I tend to multitask. I'll speak for myself. I multitask all day long. And to your point, we do the best we can. And we are, many of us are dealing with our children and now our parents. And so that's a whole new phenomenon of caregiving and trying to keep our mask on first. That's really challenging.
If I can offer a ritual that you can try, that you all can try to
Yes.
sense, just take 3 to 5 minutes a day. 3 to 5 minutes a day. Find it if it's in your bedroom, bathroom, wherever, to just try to sit and just consciously breathe. And when I say consciously breathe, pay attention to your breath, because a lot of times we're talking and not even realizing we're not taking a moment, a beat to breathe. So just take 1, 3 minutes, if you can do five, and just sit and maybe you close your eyes and just connect with your breath and your body, right? You're giving yourself a moment to practice mindfulness, to practice presence, to practice being inside of your body, because remember, once again, your body is telling you what your brain sometimes hasn't figured out quite yet.
That's right.
Into your body. So yeah, the presence. Yeah. So that little
Yes.
exercise, and it makes a world of difference. When you can do that, you can begin to move into meditation. You can move into the more advanced things, but start there. Yeah.
Even a minute. I was thinking, as you said, 3 to 5 minutes. I thought, maybe I, for me, 1 minute to start,
Try
close
a
my
minute.
eyes, 1 minute
Yep. Do a
would
minute.
be a huge help.
Do a
And then
minute.
graduate. Yeah.
Yeah, do a minute. I've had clients where we started off in sessions for 30 seconds, because some
Yes.
people just that activated, it's difficult to even sit for 30 seconds. It's okay. Start where you are. 30 seconds, 1 minute, 5 seconds,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
Start where you are. Just try to take
And
that in
it's pausing and taking a breath. Just
mind.
taking a breath. And I think that is critical. So I love everything you said. How can people reach you? I know Nikki mentioned she has a, potentially would like to work with you. Can you share your website and
Yes,
all?
my website is theoasissanctuary.net.
Okay.
And to contact me, email is info@theoasissanctuary.com.
Okay, I'm gonna put that in the chat for people that are looking at the chat. You say it again, info at
So at the
the
Oasis Sanctuary. Dot com. Let me make sure it's dot com and not dot net.
Okay. Wonderful. And the Oasis.
It's dot net. I'm sorry. Info at
Okay.
Oasis Sanctuary dot net.
Correction.
Yeah, dot net.
Okay.
To correct myself.
No worries. The Oasis Sanctuary dot net. Okay, that is in the chat. And I can't believe how time flies. It is time to wrap already. Do you want to share just a few final words of advice as we get ready to move into these next couple weeks of holiday time?
So my final words of advice is this: presence is king. To give yourself grace, to move in gratitude, and be intentional about peace. Take it one day at a time, one moment at a time. Everything is going to be okay.
That's perfect. Perfect advice. I love everything you said. You see me smiling. I'm like, that is great. That is great. That is great. That is great. Thank you so much for being here, Jasera, for coming back and blessing us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're really thrilled that you came. I appreciate you. And Dr. Vicky, our dear friend, will close us out in a prayer this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacera. The Oasis Sanctuary is such a perfect name for how you show up in the world. Thank you, Kelly, for this powerful conversation and all that you and Dee continue to do and create space here. God, we thank you for this day that you've given to us that we've never seen before. Thank you for the opportunity to be present, to breathe, to pause, to learn, to reflect, to let go, to practice acceptance and the serenity prayer. We thank you for every moment that you've given to us to grow. Thank you for our children and our parents. Thank you for every household that is represented on this call, not just today, but in times past and those that will come in the future. We thank you for every guest. Thank you for Jacera and the well of wisdom that she is, the multiplicity of gifts that she has, and for her so freely sharing. Continue to bless her with grace on her journey to finishing her PhD. Bless her practice. Bless who she is in the world. Thank you for gracing us with her and allowing her to pour wisdom into us so that we can grow up and be better people, better parents. We thank you for another opportunity. Thank you for the Sunrise Project. And we give you glory. Keep us safe today. Allow us to be present with ourselves and with our loved ones. And we thank you in advance for new ways of being with our children. And we honor you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Vicky. And thank you to Sarah and everybody. Have a beautiful day.
You all have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.